Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Faith Christian Podcast. At Faith Christian, our purpose is to help people find and follow Jesus. For more information about Faith Christian, check out our website, fccnp.org, or stop by on a Sunday morning. We'd love to meet you. Now, we hope you enjoy this recent teaching from Faith Christian Church. So glad we get to spend this time together today. Thanks for those of you who are tuned in online. I want to mention just one real quick thing by way of announcement to you. A lot of things going on, but I want to be sure that you, two things. We're going to get ready for this time next week. We'll be in this room celebrating the resurrection. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday, and we invite you to join us. Our service will be at 10 a.m., both in person and online. Hope that you will be here with us. Hope you'll be in the room. We'll pack this place out as we celebrate together, worship together, offer our praise to the one who has come, who has conquered death and has risen and is still alive, giving us life and life abundantly. And so we'll celebrate Jesus. We'll celebrate the resurrection next week. Hope that you will be here with us. Between now and then, a couple things are happening. First, next Sunday, a part of our worship celebration is our worship choir will be leading us. And those of you who are a part of that worship choir, you're invited to be here tonight at 5 for one last rehearsal to get ready for that time of celebration next Sunday morning. And so hope that you will be here at 5 o'clock tonight. If you haven't talked to Josie and you'd still like to sing, come on anyway tonight. We'd love to see you. We'll be here at 5, ready to get ready for our time of worship next Sunday morning. And also coming up on Friday of this week, on Good Friday, we're going to have a Good Friday service. This will be a night of prayer and worship. And so the only thing you're going to hear from me is I'm going to lead you through a time of communion. No sermon, no devotion. We're just going to worship God together on Good Friday. Begin to wrap our minds around the cross. Focus our attention on the cross of Calvary, the cross where Jesus died, and we hope that you will be here to be a part of that service. That'll be a very meaningful time. That'll begin at 7 p.m. this Friday night, Good Friday. It will be streamed online on all our normal streaming platforms, so if you can't be here, I hope that you'll tune in at 7 o'clock or sometime after that. Make that a part of your weekend. It really helped us get our mind in the right place as we get ready to celebrate the resurrection next Sunday morning. Well, right now, we're continuing a sermon series that we're calling And Mind. We've been in this series for the last several weeks. We're actually going to take a break from it next week to celebrate Easter together, and then we'll pick it back up on the other side of Easter Sunday. This conversation of about And Mind, and we've started this conversation, we're calling it And Mind, because one day Jesus was asked, what's the most important thing we need to do? What is it, Jesus? What's the most important thing for us as we follow you, as we're people of God? What's our most important thing? And Jesus said the most important thing is to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and mind. And so we've been talking very specifically these last month or so about the topic of mental health. We're talking about it because we've learned already that not talking about it is not working. And nothing gets better when we keep it in the dark. And so we're using this idea, this time together to kind of put our view, our Christian view, our world Christian worldview on this topic of mental health. And I think the church needs to be a part of this conversation. I think the church needs to be leading this conversation. Today I want to address what is the number one mental health challenge in our world today, especially in our American world, our culture today, and that is anxiety or worry. And although anxiety is the most common mental health challenge, it is still something that people struggle to know how to respond to someone who is dealing with anxiety. Let me give you an example of what I mean. Frederick Backman points this out. He wrote a book called Anxious People. And in his book, he says this, and this kind of slapped me across the face. He says, I think most people would still, and he's already talked about how the conversation, mental health conversation, has really come to the forefront over the last several years in our country. I think most people would still, despite all that, would still get more sympathy from their colleagues and bosses at work if they showed up looking really rough one morning and said, I'm hungover, than if they said, I'm suffering from anxiety. Then I kind of slap you around a little bit. We know how to deal with somebody who's hungover better than we know somebody who's dealing with anxiety or any of these other mental health challenges we've talked about. And yet the stats tell us that anxiety is by far the most common mental health struggle. General anxiety disorder affects around 40 million adults in our country, and I know it does for some of you because we've talked. And the percentage, listen, the percentage goes way up when we start talking about adolescents. Age 13 to 18 years old, more than one in three teenagers in America right now are dealing with an anxiety disorder. And much like when we talked about depression a couple of weeks ago, anxiety affects us even if we're not diagnosed with an anxiety disorder. So we're going to have to differentiate between two different types of anxiety disorders today. And so let me say this to you. If your anxiety disorder is at the diagnosable stage, if it is crippling to you, if it is affecting your physical health, let me say, as I've said about all these other mental health challenges, please seek professional help. Talk to your doctor. Get an appointment with a counselor or a therapist. It's okay if you need to be on medicine for this. It's okay if you need to go through a series of counseling to help you work through this. That's okay. That is healthy. There is no shame in that. There should be no fear in that. We're reluctant to do it. I get it. But please, please, this is why we have doctors and therapists and counseling and medicine, because sometimes, listen to me, sometimes we cannot fix ourselves. And if that's you, please, I beg you, please seek out that professional help that you need. Now, for the rest of us, it's kind of who I want to talk about today, who I want to talk to today. Because all of us worry about something in our lives. All of us have moments of anxiety. Matter of fact, we're wired to do that. I said this a couple weeks ago. God created in our DNA, in our persona, the ability to feel anxious, to be worried. It's what helps us if we see a child in danger, helps us spring to action to rescue that child. And so anxiety is not a bad thing. But unnecessary worry can be. So let me ask this, those of you who worry sometimes. Have you ever, by worrying, really felt like you have extended your life expectancy? Have you ever, when you've gone through a season of worry, thought, that helped. That really helped. I'm so glad I went through all that stress and all those Tums and all that stuff because I really feel better now. How many of you, by worrying, have actually done just the opposite of that? You think you've probably decreased your life expectancy and life quality because of all the stress that you have worked up inside of you. How many of you, by worrying, have ever made a situation better? By worrying. Meaning, you stayed up all night, you're stressed about something, but by the time morning came around, you thought, whew, I feel so refreshed, everything is all right, I got this all fixed by worrying all night about it. Does that happen to you? Because it hasn't happened to me. So let me ask you this. If worrying does not extend our life, and if worrying actually decreases our life and our quality of life, and if worrying never fixes a situation, why do we do it? I mean, we know it doesn't help, but why do we do it? So let me just say this. As your pastor, who loves you, who cares about you, who wants the best for you, stop it! Just stop it! I wish it was that easy. The truth is, all of us, whether we're diagnosed with an anxiety disorder or we just deal with general anxiety, all of us worry about something. Even though we know it's not going to help, even though we know it will hurt our health, all of us worry. And if you are a worrier, good news, Jesus has something to say about it. Let me walk you through today some words of Jesus that might be a part of the answer to your worry and anxiety. A part. Again, if you need help, get help. If this has become crippling to you, you need to talk to a doctor. You need to help them, have them help you find the right tools in the right places you need to be to get the help you need. No shame in that. Please do that. But let me walk you through some words of Jesus that might be a part of the answer to your worry and your anxiety. And Jesus, because he is so brilliant in his teaching, because he's so wise, Jesus cuts right to the heart of the issue of worry. He strips away all of the emotion. And he says, this situation is deeper than just how you feel. And it's not just about some breathing techniques or think good thoughts. You see, the issue with worry is not emotion. The issue with worry is devotion. Because we only worry about what we are devoted to. This is brilliant. What Jesus is going to say here is brilliant. Think about it in your own life. Let me start with something small to kind of explain what I mean by this. We only worry about what we are devoted to. Many of you know I'm a big-time college football fan. And my team of choice, whether you like it or not, my team of choice is the Florida Gators. I've been a Florida Gator fan for years and years, and I'm just going to say, as a Florida Gator fan, the last several seasons have been really, really bleak. It's not good. It's not good at all. And as a matter of fact, the future doesn't look all that great either. And so, because I'm a Florida Gator fan, I can stress about the Florida Gators, right? Why? Because I'm devoted to them. I've got the t-shirt. I've got the sweatshirt. I've been to the games, right? I don't stress. I don't worry about Notre Dame. I don't really stress that much about Ohio State like you people do. I don't do that. But I stress about the Gators. Why don't I stress about Ohio State? Because it doesn't affect me that much. Except to know that when they lose, attendance at church the next morning is going to be awful. I don't know why that is. Look in the mirror, figure it out. All right, that's a whole other conversation. I don't care if your team wins or loses. I don't care how your team recruits. I don't care who the coach is. Why? Because I'm not devoted to them. But I am devoted to the Florida Gators. And so I watch and I pay attention and I read the recruiting things and I pay attention to who the coach is. I care about them. I have emotion towards them. I worry about them because I am devoted to them. Let me take it a little closer to home. The same thing is true with my children, my kids. I am devoted to my kids. I'm devoted to their education. I want to see them get a good education and succeed in their education. And so I make sure that they are doing the things they need to do to get that good education. They're getting their homework done. They're getting their projects turned in on time. I want to make sure that they get into the schools that they want to get into, to succeed in life, all of those things. I am devoted to my kids and their education. I got to be honest with you. I'm not worried about your kids' grades. I mean, I love you. I love your kids. I pray for your kids. I hope they do well, but I don't worry about your kids' grades. Unless, of course, they're taking away my kids' scholarship, then we'll talk. But really, I don't stress about it. I don't stress about it. Why? Because I'm not devoted to your kids. I'm devoted to my kids. We only worry about what we are devoted to. And so what Jesus is about to say to us here in Matthew chapter 6, part of the Sermon on the Mount, what Jesus is going to say to us here is, let's strip away all of the emotion and strip away all of the feelings, all of the warm fuzzies, and let's just get to the heart of the issue with worry is devotion, what we're devoted to. Listen to what Jesus says. Matthew 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. Now, we got to stop right there. He is saying you cannot be equally devoted to two separate things. You can only be devoted to one. Now, look at the first thing that Jesus starts about when he's talking about this issue of devotion. The first thing he addresses in this issue of worry is this. You cannot serve both God and money. Our number one thing we worry about. He says, you can't do it. Jesus knows that the chief competitor for our lives and for our hearts and for our devotion is our money and our stuff. And he says, if you're devoted to it, you're going to worry about it. Then he moves on. This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Now, he's connecting this idea of worry and what we're devoted to. He's connecting this idea. And then he begins to address the things that they would worry about back then. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. That's the first century worries. And if he were saying this to us today, in our time, in our century, he might say, I know the things you're worried about. How am I going to retire? Will my kids get into the school they want to get into? Will I get married? Will I stay married? Will my kids get married? Will my health stay good? Jesus says, I know the things that you worry about. Now catch this, because this is oftentimes misunderstood. It's not that Jesus is saying these things aren't important. He's not saying they're not important. He says, I know they're important. I know there's a great amount of uncertainty with things. And I know that these things may not work out the way you want them to, but I don't want you, Jesus says, I don't want you to obsess and to worry about them, because they're just things. And then Jesus asked this really big question, verse 25. Doesn't life consist of more than food and clothing? So we're getting to the heart of the issue. He says, isn't life more important than what you eat and what you drink and what you wear? In our case, isn't life more important than how you retire? Isn't life more important than what school your kid gets into? Isn't life more important than the Florida Gators may never be bowl eligible again? I don't know. Most of us miss this. Most of us miss this because we are so focused on what we are worried about that we don't realize what's more important. Jesus is not saying these things are not important. He's saying they're not the most important thing. So Jesus has just opened up all these wounds of what everybody has their stress about and worries about and what we're frustrated about. And then Jesus says something. After opening this wound, Jesus says something that may come off as a little bit insensitive. So you'll forgive Jesus when he says this in verse 26. Look at the birds. What? What? Jesus, what? The birds? You got to be thinking at this moment, what are you talking about, Jesus? I don't have time to go bird watching. I'm too worried about everything. I'm too worried about trying to get my stuff together. My kid may not graduate from college. My daughter may be sick. I got this problem at work. I got this problem at home. We might not be able to keep the house. We've got this issue and that issue. And you want me to go bird watching, Jesus? Look at the birds. What are you talking about, Jesus? And Jesus would say to you and to me, are you finished? Calm down a minute. Listen. Because I want you to shift your focus from what's here. And I want you to go on a little journey with me. And I want you to look at the birds. Listen to the rest of the verse. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Here's how he'd say this to us. The birds don't have a 401k. The birds don't have a college education. The birds don't lead their children around by the hand and put a helmet on them and little elbow pads on the leashes on them so they don't get hurt. You know what the birds do? The birds build their nest way up high in the trees, and when their kids get big, they just push them out of the nest and hope they can fly. It's a parenting style. I don't know. Give it a try. But birds are crazy compared to the way we do things. Yet you never see birds worried. You never hear a bird talking about, yeah, we were going to fly south for the winter, but you know what, the economy, the way it is, and the price of worms right now, there's just no way we can make the trip. We just can't do it. You don't get up in the middle of the night, look out the window, and see a bird pacing back and forth on the telephone line going, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. He's just popping toms, worried. You don't do that. Jesus says birds don't store. Birds don't plant. Birds don't harvest. They just live. And yet somehow your heavenly Father feeds them. This is difficult stuff. Which is why Jesus zeroes in on this a little bit more. And he says, aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? In other words, don't you think God cares more about you than he does the birds? God made you in his image. We are image bearers of the Creator. God sent his Son as a human, not as a bird, as a human to die for you so that you could live. God seems to care more about you than he does the birds. This is heavy stuff. So I need you to repeat out loud with me. Would you just say this with me? I believe God loves me more than the birds. You don't believe it, do you? Say it again. I believe that God loves me more than the birds. Sounds simple, doesn't it? But we don't always get this. So Jesus asked another big question. Next verse. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? That's the question I started you off with this morning. He's saying, in all your worrying that you do, does it ever extend your life? By being focused so much on the not now, do you actually change the now? Jesus says you can't do anything about it. Look what he says next, verse 28. Why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and see how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. Jesus says, you don't like the bird thing? Let's talk about the flowers. God actually cares about how the flowers look. And if God cares so wonderfully for the flowers, verse 30, that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? If God cares so much about how the flowers look, don't you think he'd take care of you? Why do you struggle with your faith? Then he sums up the whole thing with this, verse 31. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Did you catch what he said here? Jesus is saying, this freaking out mentality that you're going through, this is the way people think that don't know God. And we all remember a time when we were there. And some of us are still wrestling with this. But you ask any person on the street, how are you feeling about the world right now? You're going to get a list of things that we're worried about. How are we going to fix the economy? What about the election? What about this problem? What about that problem? And God says, you don't have to live that way. Because you have a heavenly Father who loves you and cares for you. And guess what? He loves you more than the birds. He loves you more than the flowers. Don't you think you should trust him? Now, here's the deal. Bring it in. I believe everything that Jesus just said. Everything we just read. I believe everything Jesus just said. I trust everything that Jesus said to be true. This is really hard. This is hard to do. So let me shoot straight with you. My name is Larry. I'm a worrier. I'm an up all night staring at the ceiling kind of guy. I worry about things just like you do. And I think what it boils down to me, if I can be really honest with you, I think what it boils down to me is I know that God can take care of me. I'm just not sure if he will. So I figure I need to worry about it instead. These are the tug of wars that I have with God when I go through my bouts of worry. I talk to God about all the things that I'm stressed about. And I sense him saying, trust me. I love you more than the birds. And my response to him is pretty much what all of us think about this thing. I know that you can, God. I know that you can, but I'm just not so sure that you will solve my problem the way that I want that problem solved. And God says back to me, well, I guess you're going to have to trust me on that one too then, aren't you? And I've been living this tug-of-war relationship with God my entire life. I've learned the truth of what Jesus has said here, that if I'm only worried about what I'm most devoted to, maybe what I need to do is shift what I'm devoted to. And that's exactly what Jesus says to do next in verse 33. He says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. You see, when I'm focused on God's kingdom, which will be his purposes, his goals, his initiatives, what he wants in the world, when I'm focused on God's kingdom, I worry a whole lot less. But when I get focused on my kingdom, on the kingdom of Larry, and on my purposes and my goals and my initiatives and my stuff and my comfort and my preferences and my success and what people think about me and how I'm going to live and how I'm going to retire, guess what? I worry a whole lot more when I'm thinking about me than when I'm thinking about God. And Jesus, what Jesus is saying here is, if you will just make your main priority God's priorities, God will take care of your priorities. If you decide to make God's kingdom first in your life, God will take care of your kingdom. Might not be the way you would have taken care of it, but God will take care of it. Jesus says, if we only worry about what we're devoted to, it's time to shift what we're devoted to. And now you may be pushing back at me and thinking, well, does this mean I'm not supposed to worry about my kids? I'm not supposed to be devoted to my kids or my health? No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what Jesus is saying. This seek first the kingdom of God, not only, but above all else. Not only, but above all. Make it the first priority instead of the last. And then God will give you not just what we want, but what we need. When we decide to make his priorities first rather than our own, I worry a lot less, and God takes care of all those things that I was worried about. So here's what I'm learning in my life. Here's what I'm learning to do. I'm learning to let go of what I can't control. Let go of what I can't control. So much of what we worry about is stuff that is far out of our control. Things from the past. Things that people think about us. Things that might happen. And most of it, we really can't control at all. It's kind of like a little bit like bowling. If you go bowling, you go to the bowling alley, you put on the ugly shoes, you go over and you pick up one of those 15-pound balls. Bowling basically works this way. You walk up to the line and you let go of the ball. That's how bowling works. Bowling does not work very well if you don't let go of the ball. If you walk around with that ball, you talk to people, you eat some nachos, you're having a good time, but you still got that ball in your hand, those pins are never going to fall down. That's worry. Worry is basically carrying around a 15-pound bowling ball in our minds all the time, and that's what most of us do. The Bible teaches us how to let go of this. Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace. Oh, that sounds nice. Experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So let me give you some little something that maybe can help take this home with you in your mind. Would you get your hands out? If you brought them with you, get your hands out. I want you to take your hands, just turn them like this, and you should look at your hands. Look at the palm of your hands and just visualize into your hands all of the things that you're worried about. Whatever it is right now you're most worried about, the handful of things you're worried about right now, put them in your hands, in your mind right now, and then just clench onto them as hard as you can. Just close those fists as tight as you can. Just practice this. Just put those things in your hand, squeeze them as hard as you can. Ready? On the count of three, we're going to let go. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Now let that go. Do you feel the release in your body? You feel the stress leave your body, the tension leave your body as you release your hands. God, I know what these things are, and I release them to you. I'm giving them to you. I can't control them myself. I'm going to let you have them. But don't stop there. You give these things to God. You also thank God for what he has done. You exchange that by looking at your hands. And now visualize, instead of what you're worried about, now visualize all the things that God has already done in your life. Replace those things that we squeeze so hard, those things we worry about. Release those and replace them with those things that, remembering those things that God has already done in your life, and you cling onto that. and you bring that close to you, thank God for what he has done. Here's what's interesting about thanking God for what he's done. When you remember what he's done in the past, it gives you the ability to trust that he will do it again in the future. So we let go of the worry. We fill up, we thank God for what he's done. Now again, this isn't easy. This is a daily fight that we all have to shift our devotion from ourselves to God. But when we do, here's what we'll discover. We'll discover that we can trust our Heavenly Father because he knows what we need and he cares, and he will replace our worry with his peace. Let me pray for you. If our communion team will take their places, please. God, I pray right now for all of those who are experiencing daily anxiety. I pray that you would be peace to them, that they would know your presence and they would experience your peace. God, I pray for a world that has grown in anxiety, that you would bring your peace to us, to our nation, to our world, to our community, to our homes, to our churches. Teach us, God. Teach us what we can let go of. Those things we hold on to so tightly that you just want us to release to you. And give us the courage to do just that. In the name of Jesus. Amen.